Good morning. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be thinking, isn't communion supposed to be after the sermon? Maybe he needs another cup of coffee. I'm trying to make a point that brokenness is at the center of everything we do at church. Hi, my name is David. I've been coming to FCC for around a year and a half with my wife, Wendy, and our two kids, Sophia and Emmett. Today's sermon continues the series on brokenness that Pauline began last week, which will continue during the period of Lent until Easter. I'd like to start the story with a story from when I was 16 years old. At that time, I was going to high school at a boarding school overseas, and each Friday night, I would go to a fellowship group for overseas students. One night, I managed to invite a classmate who I had a secret crush on to come to the fellowship. I was looking forward to spending time with her, and I was happy that she was going to hear about God. However, it didn't go well. To my dismay, she spent the whole evening outside the house where we met, in the garden, talking to one of the guys who I particularly disliked. He was a guy who I didn't like him because I found him arrogant and brash, and I secretly looked down on him. The idea that she had chosen to talk to him instead of me, it threw me into emotional turmoil, deep sadness, and I was a 16-year-old, you know, so it was particularly tough. That night, when I got home, I took a box cutter, you know, a knife, and I made several cuts on my hand. I drew blood. That was the first time I did that. It was not the last time. It became something I did for about a year, every time I felt sad about myself. I share this story because it's one of the many episodes of brokenness that I've experienced in my life. As a teenager, even as I went about the motions of being a devout Christian, I was actually worshiping the idea that the only thing which would give me value and worth was to be in a romantic relationship. It wasn't that I liked that girl more than anyone else. In fact, I would have dated pretty much anyone. It was all about me. It was all about my need to feel valued. Additionally, because I'd been looking down on that guy and discovered that he was in some way better than me, that made the self-hatred even worse. It left me twisted inside. So, yes, broken. We don't use the word sin in this church very much because it's a trigger word. It's been used by so many to demonize, shame, and judge people, especially the LGBT community. And so let me say, you are welcome here, regardless of your sexual orientation or gender identity. And our church does not consider non-traditional expressions of gender and sexual identity to be broken or sinful. The sin and brokenness I'm talking about is common to all people. It's when we knowingly or ignorantly do things that hurt ourselves, those around us, the wider society, and the planet, sometimes on a daily basis. We live our lives as if there is no God but ourselves, as if we are fully in control of our own destiny and meaning. We present a face of competence to the world to hide our emotional messiness, our woundedness, our scars, and our secret addictions. These are all kinds of brokenness which are unhealthy for us, which God wants to heal. In order to let God heal our brokenness, however, we first have to face ourselves and admit that we need his help. This is harder than it seems, because we've been taught since young that how much we're loved and valued is directly proportional to our good behavior and our performance, especially in Singapore. In Asian culture, shame is commonly used as a tool to extract compliance from children and even adults. This sinks deep into our souls. We carry around this feeling of being fundamentally unlovable and unworthy. And we think to ourselves, if people really knew how broken I am, they would want nothing to do with me. God would want nothing to do with me. Have you ever thought, I'm too messed up to go to church this Sunday? I can't face God. I'll just stay home. I've definitely thought that more than once. Well, then you're believing a lie, that God only can accept you under certain conditions. This isn't true. In fact, God knows everything about you, all the good and bad you have done and will do, and he loves you just the same. In Jeremiah 31, God says, and I invite you to hear God speaking this to you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God's love is unfailing, and his desire is always that you would come to him, God, in whatever condition you are in, rejoicing or sorrowful, doubting or certain, submissive or defiant, and allow God's love to embrace you. I'd like to ask you, how do you think God sees you? Can you trust God with your brokenness and let God start to heal you? When I was in university in America, I attended a church called Agape Bible Church in a small building far out of town in the countryside. The pastor was a former drug addict from New York City. He was very open about his past, and he would often refer to episodes from his life in his sermons. By the way, his sermons would go on like they were about an hour and a half long. It was quite amazing, but yeah, we never got bored. He would tell such amazing stories. And at first I found this shocking, because most pastors in Singapore would never reveal anything shameful or embarrassing. Maybe they felt this lessened their authority in the eyes of the congregation. So this guy was quite different. He led by example from his brokenness. And it was new to me. I found it very refreshing. His vulnerability set the tone for the church as a place where flawed people could come and find grace. His life story was a literal example of the power of God to heal and transform. And God used him to change my life and many of my friends too. At FCC, we often talk about the Japanese art of kintsugi, where an artist takes broken pieces of pottery, cups, bowls, or plates, and puts them together again to form the original items, highlighting the cracks by sealing them with gold. This kind of art is seen not just as good as new, but better than new. It's the same with our lives. The flaws that we have, the pain, the brokenness, is what God uses to bring out his glory. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God." It is in being broken that we can accept others in their brokenness. While we hold on to our sense of wholeness and self-reliance, we tend to expect and demand the same of others. And we openly or secretly despise those who can't seem to get it together or fail to meet our expectations. We become insufferable. And we create spiritual communities where everything is a performance, lacking in authenticity. I'm not saying we need to go the opposite way and start manufacturing problems and flaws, although I guess they are always there. But we don't need to self-beat ourselves up. Okay? Sometimes by God's grace, things are actually well, and we are at peace. If so, it is okay to acknowledge that with thankfulness. We don't need to beat ourselves up over our sinfulness all the time. As long as we remember that it's by God's grace that we are not in the shoes of another who is struggling. And we need to offer grace to all. It's not that we are so deserving. It's not that we work so hard to get to that place. And it's not our job to determine who is worthy of God's grace. In our weekly communion liturgy here, we say, FCC, we practice an open table. I love that. It means that we must never set up any barriers to God's grace to decide who is in and who is out. I'd like to ask you, how do you think God can use you to bring his healing to others in this community and outside it with humility and gentleness? The last thing I want to talk about is a better kind of brokenness. It's a kind of healthy condition of our heart where our failures, disappointments, struggles, and suffering bring us to the end of our self-sufficiency and pride. Through our brokenness, God invites us into a deeper and closer relationship with God where we can experience God's love and healing and transformation. Psalms 51 says, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." These are from three different psalms. It is when we have hit rock bottom, when we have let go or lost all the crutches we have been using to prop up our sense of self-worth. That's when we realize God never meant for us to place our value in anything but his love for us. Once we stop struggling to prove ourselves, we can rest in God's embrace like a little child. We understand we cannot fix ourselves by sheer effort, and we need God in everything we do. This is the beginning of changing our relationship with God from one of performance to one of trusting relationship. Rather than being weighed down by our responsibilities, we can respond to God as his beloved little child. Rather than feeling the burden of God's expectations for us, we can look expectantly to God, asking, "God, Daddy, Mommy, what are we doing today? I know whatever you bring my way, you love me and your intentions for me are good." In this place, our souls can find rest in the midst of difficult circumstances. In Psalm 131, King David writes, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." When I became a parent, I think this verse spoke more to me because I've seen how my kids are. And although, you know, sometimes they are making a fuss or being angry about something, I just feel in myself so much love for them unconditionally. And I guess it struck home at that point, that's how God views me, but in a much greater way. And he never wants me to say, "Oh, I can't come before you. I don't deserve you." No, he always wants us to come to him in any state. And to be like a little child is to just trust our loving heavenly parent. So Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I'd like to ask you, are you able to rest in God's healing presence, in God's love and promises? So, here are the three things I hope you can reflect on, maybe even as you take communion later. If there's anything that God has spoken to you to think about, then I pray you'll take the time to reflect. How do you think God sees you? Can you trust God with your brokenness and let God start to heal you? How do you think God can use you to bring his healing to others in this community and outside it, with humility and gentleness? And are you able to rest in God's healing presence, in his love and promises? Brokenness is at the center of the Christian story because Jesus himself was broken for us so that we can be restored and healed. In 1 Corinthians, Paul recalls the Last Supper when Jesus said, when he had given thanks, he broke this bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Apostle Paul also writes in 1 John, "This is how God showed his love among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins." In Jesus' life and death, we have the final word on how much God loves us, is for us, and is with us in our brokenness. Now, nothing in this world can separate us from God's love. Will you pray with me? Lord, even as Pastor Miak has shared the pain he's experiencing, Lord, we all feel that pain, Lord. When he's hurting, we're hurting, Lord. And Lord, we need you more than ever. We need to be reminded of your embrace, your love, the way you see us, Lord, a loving parent, not like an earthly parent who judges, who rejects, but a heavenly parent whose love is unconditional, who always is for us, always has good intentions for us. Lord, I pray the words I've spoken today will be your very words. Lord, speak to each person here as each one is your precious child, is precious in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.